Welcome back to the Martial Arts Show 2.0. I'm your podcast host Khalid, and my guest today is Lee Grinrod, and we talk about his journey into martial arts, fighting through adversity despite all his, you know, injuries, different hip heights and length, bullying in school, being a world champion, and many more things. Stay tuned.
Yes, there he is. Hello, brother. How are you doing? Hope everything is good.
Very well. How are you?
It's awesome. I'm fine. I appreciate you for your time. And yeah, we'll just say we can start. Tell the people who you are and a little bit about your background.
My name is Lee Grinrod. I am based in the UK. I am Muay Thai and K1 fighter, heavyweight division. My total record is 18 wins, 2 losses, 1 no contest. Pretty psyched to be on the podcast, mate. I must say it's my first one, so
I appreciate it.
You know, I need a bit of coaching throughout, so yeah. But yeah, I'm really excited to be on.
That's awesome.
Been in the martial arts now since I was 16, so what's almost 16 years now.
That's so, yeah. Amazing, yeah, definitely.
A world title, yeah. Couple of seven area titles.
That's awesome.
For a British title, so yeah. Then
yeah, it's definitely incredible. Yes, awesome. Yeah, that's definitely incredible. Before we go on all these details and everything, how did you get into martial arts? I mean, you said you're in the martial arts game since you were 16. What did you do before? Did you play like football or any other sports as a kid or teenager? Or what did you do?
I did everything. I was one of these kids. I had my fingers in everything. I was skateboarding, inline skating, basketball, yeah. Rugby, cricket. Yeah. I got big feet, so I wasn't too good at football. But I love my rugby. You know, all those yeah. sorts of sports. And then for me, it was, you know, sort of 16 years old, the big transition into Muay Thai and fell in love with the sport.
Really. Yeah. So basically with 16, that was your very first martial arts you did back then was Muay Thai, yeah. Right?
So yeah, I dabbled as a very, you know, very young junior with stuff like judo and taekwondo and stuff. But it was more sort of like, you know, my friends were doing it, so I just
Did it with them. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't really okay. For me.
Yeah, okay. And what was the reason you dabbled into, or you got into Muay Thai? Specific reason? Did you get bullied, or did you just, you know, get strong or whatever?
So there was an aspect of bullying throughout childhood. You know, just like name calling and stuff like that. And then there was, you know, hazing and, you know, a bit of, you know, physical altercations and stuff like that. And it got to a stage where I thought, you know, I need to be able to defend myself, and I had a close personal friend who lived at the bottom of my road, who was actually a Thai boxing instructor. Yeah. So I sort of, you know, walked past the gym one day and he was teaching a class, and I sort of stuck my head in the door and said, you know, what's this all about? And I want to check it out. And then did one session and just fell in love with the sport. Just instantly thought, this is incredible.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I sort of stepped through the door and that was it, really. I was enticed. I was in.
That's awesome. Yeah, definitely. That's usually how it starts. And so when would you say that the bullying and stuff like that end? Because a lot of fighters, including like legends like Bas Root and GSP, so they got bullied and then they got through that into martial arts. And I say like pretty quick, it ends like half a year later, then you're already good enough to defend yourself and then they pretty much stop. So how was it for you? What time frame would you say like, and then it stopped?
Pretty much the same sort of thing, really. It was just like, you know, the haze and the bullying, the sort of name calling, and then throwing a few punches and sort of, you know, establishing myself that I'm not going to take that anymore. Yeah. And all of a sudden, the bullies were all like, you know, stepping back. They weren't quite as interested in it anymore. So I sort of then, you know, was quite lucky that I didn't really have to deal with the bullies as much. And it was definitely a big part of it. And I think without the bullying aspect of it, I wouldn't have really pushed for martial arts because there was no need to defend myself. But when I was actually punched and hit in school and thought, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, if someone hits me again, how do I actually stop it? And as I say, once I found martial arts and Muay Thai specifically, it was just love.
Yeah. That's definitely true. And it's very interesting. Like, sometimes you think like you're very helpless, especially as a kid. But as soon as you know a little bit of martial arts, especially as a kid, and you throw a couple punches, combination, whatever, then suddenly they stop or they respect you. Because then they see, even if they might be still stronger than you, but it's too hard and too annoying to deal with you because you resist, you fight. They always try to pick on the weak ones to bully. But if somebody just resists a little bit, then they don't want to deal with that.
Yeah. And I couldn't agree more. As I say, once you start throwing punches back and you start saying, I'm not going to take this anymore, they're like, nah, we ain't going to be dealing with that. We can pick on someone else. And they'll just sort of push off on their own. So
that's
but yeah, man. I say
definitely
the bullying was a big step for me.
Yeah, but was it like a typical thing where you like overweight or not really the beloved kid in the class, or was it just because kids being kids, you know how kids are? Kids are pretty mean, like with bullying and stuff like that.
I'll run you right back on like the whole story of me. So when I was a child, I was born with a lot of birth complications. I was born with something called gastroschisis, which means my internal organs on the outside of my body. I had bowed legs, and I had something called Perthes disease. So basically the shape of my hip doesn't fit correctly. And that causes me to have a limp. So I've got quite a distinguished, gangster limp. It's a bit of a sort of a drop on my left side. So people sort of noticed it and made comments about it. And to an extent, it can be laughed off. But when it's constant, and you're growing
up,
you're trying to establish yourself as a young man, and everyone's like, oh, look at his limp. And it was just, as I say, constant bullying about subjects like that. And then the big scar on my stomach, which was something that was, obviously, everyone's like, what's that? And they sort of point and make comments. And it just sort of made me very self-conscious within myself. And as I say, the martial arts really took away that, and I could be myself.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's very interesting. And martial arts always shapes the people, and you you will become the man you become. So definitely very important to do martial arts. So when you started your journey with 16, like, how long did it take you to have your first fight, or like you basically just first, preparation for tournaments, whatever?
I think within sort of 6-7 months, I was in training. I really enjoyed it. I fell for it, and I sort of, my parents were sort of, skeptical to the idea to start with, because once they'd seen how brutal Muay Thai can be, they were like, what are you signing up for? And I said, I know, I'm in the safest hands in Tom, my coaching team and Tom and Kerry, God bless their souls. Both incredible role models for me, and it was people that I sort of strive to be like. So I wanted to compete, and as I say, that was my strive. Like, I want to be like them. I want to get in the ring, and I want to prove I can actually do this. And then, so yeah, within sort of 6 months, I had my first fight, and that lasted less than a minute. I destroyed the guy with knees to the body, and the rest was history. Really, I just thought, this is what I want to do. I want to fight. So yeah, been at it ever since. Really, I took a few years out due to injuries and stuff like that, and I recently took a bout and fought on the Raw Combat Show under the Knowlesy Academy, which was an incredible experience to fight, against Tom Watson as well, which was a really good, decent opponent. So it was nice to get back in there and jump in at A-class level against, a formidable opponent, and still hopefully, show that I've still got it. So it's nice.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so basically since 16, and now you have like with everything, including like 21 fights, basically.
Yeah. So yeah. So yeah, 18, 19, yeah. So it's been quite a crazy sort of, it was amateur. I fought a lot of amateur fights. I was 12-0 before I got my first loss. So I did quite well in that respect. And then, I transferred over into sort of setting more with K1. So that was my forte, really. I preferred the fast pace K1 go at it. And then, as I say, took a couple of Thai fights towards the end, and fought some really good opponents. I'm quite lucky to say that I fought some pretty decent guys as well. So
that's definitely very, very impressive. And can you tell people a little bit about your accomplishments? How many like titles do you have in which K1, Muay Thai, whatever, so the people have a little bit more knowledge about that in details?
I've got a IKF super heavyweight southern area amateur title, which is the first title I won. Which was, I think, about 7 fights into my career. I then fought for a British title under Ishka rules, amateur as well. I unfortunately got beat for that. I then took a little time out, sort of sharpened up my game a little bit, and then transitioned more into the K1 side of things. And I found that the kickboxing, the rapid pace of the striking sort of suited me quite well, and went quite long and rangy. So I transitioned over and then went into my first professional fight, which was a local fight, and then I think within 4 fights I got my first shot at like a world title with a small organization called TFC. And I knocked him out in 18 seconds of the first round. So as again jumped in, a lot of my fights don't last very long. Quite an explosive forward moving fighter. I walk around about 120 kilos, so I don't drop down a lot to fight. I fight around about my natural weight, And as I say, I just sort of Muay Bok walk forwards, just bang, 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 and just keep
That's
throwing and
awesome.
hopefully get the win, you know? But
Yep.
yeah, so I've got two titles under my belt. And as I say, done pretty well.
Yeah,
But yeah.
That's definitely very impressive. And when did you become a pro?
So I turned pro when I was, wow, that would have been 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took a few fights and then I got injured. So as I say, with the hip issues, my hips are basically grinding away. So the limbs got worse.
Yeah.
The hip issues got worse. They've got tighter. It's now restricted my training. So as I say, my last fight I took against Tom on the Raw show was sort of like to see if I can still do it.
Yeah.
And I really can't. Like, my legs are sort of given up on me now. And so as I say, I'm now more of a coaching standpoint. I teach Valhalla martial arts based in Weymouth. And I also run my own CBD brand now based around sports oils and stuff. So helping athletes with recovery. So that's kind of what I do now. But as I say, yeah. So
yeah, that's definitely interesting, I think, for many people, especially dealing with injuries and stuff like that. So basically, you definitely had an amazing career so far, especially, you know, thinking about all the adversity you have and you have to go through and injuries and everything. So now you're basically in a coaching role, but let's say you can still like kick, still move, do all, you know, pad work, back and everything.
I can still do it to an extent. It's just, as I say, once I get off the mats after a couple of hours, I'm...
Yes, you know, so basically just fighting would stuff. Make it, fighting probably would make it worse, but you can still, you know, move, do all your drills and even sparring, whatever. But if you fight, of course, in the fighting, there's, you know, more collision stuff like that. Of course, it's more difficult for the hips, but so
after
other than
that,
it's all good.
I was absolutely battered, you know. Luckily, the fight only lasted a round, but as I say, I come out, my hips, my shins, my feet, everything just absolutely peppered, and it was just sort of the longevity of it. Now I'm not going to be fighting very much longer.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to be pressing for any more world titles. I'm not doing it in a competitive sense. So why am I really pushing my body? You know, it's just sort of the longevity of it, isn't it?
Sure.
So do I want to be walking in 10 years?
Time? Yes.
Yes. You know.
Yes.
So,
definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely, because you're
so the
still young.
Side now. Plus, I get to eat more, man. I get to relax now. I can bulk that weight back on and just live the dream.
Yeah, that's definitely true. So how much do you walk around now? Like always, like 120 kilo, something like that.
Yeah, I weighed myself the other day, and I was around about 121 kilos.
And what is the limit, or was the limit usually 120 or less?
Yeah, so it all depends on which organization you kind of fought under. They all sort of like change the rules slightly. It might be 95, it might be 100, it might be, you know, some have super heavyweight. Some don't.
So
it would normally be 95 kilo upwards. That was normally the sort of arrangement.
Okay, so
it was normally.
But what was the limit? So like, if the limit was like 110 kilo, 150 kilo, that was the limit.
120, 125 kilos.
Also,
I fought before.
Yeah.
I fought at 105, and I fought a guy who was 125. So it was sort of. You're a heavyweight. You just get.
Yeah, they're not really limit. So basically, for you, perfect. You don't really have to cut down, because I know it from some organizations. Let's say, like, I mean, it's A, but UFC. If the limit is 120 kilos, so if you weigh more than 120 kilos, of course you have to cut down. But in Glory, like Rico Verhoeven, when he was fighting, he was weighing on the edge 120. So like, it depends. But some organizations, if you weigh like 125, 130, then you have to cut down to 120. But normally 120 is the limit. So basically for you, perfect. You don't really have to cut weight.
So it's quite lucky in the respect, you know, I've never really got to compete at like the sort of the top levels, which, you know, credit where it's due. These guys, you know, really do put their bodies on the line. And I've sparred with guys that have WBC world champions, you know, heavyweight, middleweight, light heavyweight. These guys hit hard. You know, one of my sparring partners and my brother, Darren Anstey, you know, the guy who trains and fights under Amir Sabibrick at Storm Gym. You know, these guys don't mess around. You know, Darren is a legitimate killer. And when I spar with him, that's almost like sort of the reason when I think, oh, I've still got it. And I jump in and then Darren sort of gives me a bit of a reality check.
Yes,
and I'm like, no, you know, I'm sort of done with it now. So,
But yeah,
man.
That's true. They come from Storm Gym. Definitely Brits, a lot of good fighters. Shout out to Amir Subazic. When I had the luck to have him on the podcast, it was amazing. We definitely had a very long conversation. I mean, he had great fighters like Andrew Tate and his brother Tristan. And of course, like you said, Darren and some other fighters, and like he definitely is, like the coaching there is tough. I mean, there's no surprise. I mean, he came from the Bosnian War, was shot six times and still survived. He's like really grizzly
He
there.
is
Like he's
literally
strong. Yes,
like sat there
definitely.
having conversations with him, mate, like eating a Burger King. Just he's telling me these like nutty stories, and I'm just blown away by it. I'm
It's
like
amazing.
the stuff that man has witnessed.
Yes.
So then come over here, build a martial arts empire in K1
True.
and just
Yeah.
destroy it. He's literally dominating. As I say,
True.
Darren left Weymouth to go there, and since going there, he's on Infusion. He's had opportunities on fighting from Glory. He's really sort of getting opportunities through the guides and known. So I'm very blessed to know him myself. He's looked after me and my business and sort of pushed that through Super Fight Series. So
Yeah.
very lucky in the respect knowing these people sort of thing. But yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And it's crazy. I mean, and Amir is 52 and like still he's still got it. He's still strong and can
Yeah,
do all
when
the
you shake
things.
your
It's
hand,
really kind of
the rest
yes.
of you, he's like a rock. He's just solid. You know what I
Yeah,
mean? But
he's
yeah,
really strong.
nicest guy
Yeah.
in the world. But yeah, as I
Yes.
say, his coaching style was very much something I try and mimic. It's kind of straight
Very
down the
hard.
line.
Yes.
You get
Very, very strict.
results speak for
And if you
themselves.
mess it up, you have to do it again. Like even with the kids, I see sometimes the videos when they do push-ups or when they have to hold. Like if some of them is shaking or out of the line, start again. Like he's very hard, very crazy. But that's how you have to do it. And my coach was also very firm, very strict. He's like also like your size. He's like six. How tall are you? Like 6'3", 6'4"?
6'5", yeah, 6'5",
Yeah.
are my longer legs, 6'4", are my shorter legs. It all depends.
Okay, I
Which one I'm
understand.
on.
And so my coach is also like same. Like when I talked to Amir, I told him a little bit the story about my coach because they basically Amir was also growing up in Germany for 14 years, and he was just like growing up in a town 1 hour away from where I live. My coach is 52, like also built like kind of like a Francis Ngannou, 6'3",
Holy
weighing
shit.
like 110, yes, 110, 112 kilos, but like still very fast, very quick. And when you see these guys, they're over 50, and you think like, what the fuck's wrong with them? They look like 38 or so,
Yeah,
like still move. Like that's crazy. That's like the hard old
just
school, and it was
genetically,
very, very hard, tough
respect.
on.
Just yeah,
That's true.
like
Yeah, definitely. And you can
just
see
say like
that.
these guys
Yes.
train. Like you speak to Amir, like he trains. He even now he still puts himself through it. You know what I mean? And that's the different levels of it.
True.
You can push to an extent, or you can really give it some. And as I say, like when you see, like Amir and these guys at the top level, the top coaches,
That's true.
they really do push their fighters through it.
They
And
definitely
I'm very lucky in
do
that
that.
respect that we get to sponsor a lot of these athletes
Yeah.
through Hercules, and some of the fighters he's got coming out of that gym now. Tyler Hurrian, the kid is going to be the next big thing, and he's fighting out of Amir's gym. He's got some incredible talents up there. Farzana, she's amazing. Her late fight, she absolutely destroyed the girl. These they come in for war.
Yeah.
And as I say, that's definitely that's sort of what we sort of mimic ourselves after at my gym at Valhalla, which was Dean Asprey's gym. So I'm one of the coaches down there. But we sort of, pride ourselves on bringing war, really, and just sort of pushing for it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I think the way you do that is definitely amazing. And one thing I definitely noticed, England has a very, great martial arts history. I mean, also with MMA now in the last like 10, 15 years, especially with guys like Michael Bisping who paved the way. But also in kickboxing, you have a very rich history in kickboxing, like with great fighters. Not just now, but even like 10, 20 years ago, a lot of people don't really know it or they underestimate because the focus in kickboxing is very often like in Holland, like the Dutch style, obviously because they basically paved the way and everything. And I have the luck because we in Germany, where I live, I'm just like 1 hour away from Holland, and we used to train back then a lot with the K1 guys back then, like now Glory, and it was definitely amazing, very interesting, like to pick up the mind to see how they train, what they do. So I think yeah, we definitely have amazing fight scene here in Europe, but definitely England is very rich in the martial arts history for
Yeah,
sure.
definitely. I think we are really sort of paving the way now. You're seeing guys like these opportunities on ONE Championship, and they're calling up these guys, like the guys that are fighting on RSW shows, over for example, like Joe Ryan, the guy's a killer.
Yep.
These guys are legit paving the way, and they're still such young athletes.
It's true.
Freddie Haggerty, John Haggerty, pretty much anyone fighting at the Knowsley Academy, these guys are sort of paving the way with the Muay Thai and the K1. and it's brilliant. It's so good to see. You know, it's for all of Europe, but especially for the UK to see we've got a really solid base at the moment, and we're sort of pumping out decent fighters across the board, all different weights, all different categories, all different disciplines, and it's really good to see.
Yeah, definitely. Now, how do you deal with you know, all the injuries? Do you have like special treatments, or do like the doctors or physio, you know, therapists, do they have like special methods to do that with you, to train, especially for the hips, and also like regarding like long term effects or so?
So I'm literally held together by like elastic bands and tape, mate. Like my whole body is just falling apart. So I'm quite lucky in the respect of I will see physios. I will go and see, there's a couple of local guys that I'll go and see. I've got a friend called Rob and another friend called Rob. The two Robs, they're fantastic. So without them, you know, I'd be pretty much be broken. So I see them quite often. Yeah. I use, I say my own brand, which is Herculeaf, which is a CBD infused sports balm. We do a fire oil, a massage balm, and we do a moisturizer, and they're all high infused in CBD and CBG, which is very good for anti-inflammatory and painkillers.
Yeah.
So, and it's all natural. So I just cake myself in this stuff, and as I say, it genuinely makes a difference. So I've been using this now and sort of, you know, broadcasting it across the fight scene and the powerlifting and strongman scene. And as I say, so far it's been nothing but incredible sort of feedback. You know, guys are getting better rest, better sleep, they're recovering better. So it's nice to know that that helps. And as I say, I'm quite lucky in respect. I've got people around me that will sort of be there at my beck and call. Really, like if I ring one of the guys and I'm like, mate, my back's gone, I need to see you today, they can squeeze me in, which is, it's amazing. It's really helpful.
That's awesome.
But yeah, the hips are sort of, they're done now. You know, so I'm just sort of at the stage now. Like I trained today, I did sort of five sessions, and then after that, I'm just like, can hardly walk. They just sort of seize up on me. So without the sort of the treatment, the constant sort of massages and oils and balms and stuff, I would be in a bit of a pickle, to say the least.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, you know, very amazing, and definitely speaks for you how you treat yourself and, you know, still get up and do the things, and you're still in shape and deal with it the best way you can. Do you also do like sometimes resistance training, like in the water or so? Because I know a lot of GSP does a lot of, you know, aqua training where we don't have the load, the heavy load on your bones and body structure and everything.
Yeah, I used to. When I was sort of growing up as well, I used to do a lot of hydrotherapy as well, which is obviously in a pool, sort of physiotherapy movements, and I did a lot of that, and it does help. But I find resistance training with bands, so I just put a slight bit of pressure on the outside of the hip and just use a band to apply some pressure.
It helps.
So that really sort of helped me. So I said, you know, the idea is I try to keep moving it, because once you stop moving it, you lose it.
True.
So I find that I just try to keep moving, because once I stop moving for a couple of weeks, I find that my hips hurt
more. So yes. Definitely. With mobility, you have to use the whole body, because the body is very smart. Either use it or it, you know, it loses it. So it's definitely the body. Whenever like you don't need it, the body will lose like the function, because the body is very smart. So it's good. You always have to force the body, the hips and everything, to train. But it seems like you set yourself up pretty well, even after your career, or like even like in the career shift, that you have your business on the side, coaching and everything. So it seems like you're doing pretty good with that.
Yeah. So yeah, with the coaching side of it, you know, I worked within the SEN, you know, special needs industry within the local college. I've worked with loads of different outsourced reach groups, day centres and stuff like that. So I teach a lot of martial arts to disabled students, disabled people, service users, people from all different, you know, sort of backgrounds, which is amazing as well. And I've sort of incorporated that into the Thai boxing. So I do a lot of people that have been bullied, people with, you know, different learning disabilities and stuff like that. So that's what brings me real joy these days, is teaching people that have never seen Muay Thai before, teaching them Thai boxing for the first time, and sort of introducing them to the sport, and then, you know, making that a regular exercise for them. And that can then become something that not only gives them confidence in self-defense, but also gives them confidence to meet new people and stuff. So I try and push that as much as possible.
Yeah, definitely. I see that a good positive influence for many, many, many people out there. And I think even if you probably don't notice that, because sometimes we don't really notice when like we do good stuff and I think, oh, it's just normal, but you don't really recognize that, but people definitely see that and appreciate that. Do you have any, you know, last words, advice or so, anything you want to promote, anything you want to drop out here?
So yeah, literally, you know, just Thank you for having me on, really, mate. This has been my first sort of podcast. It's been
Anytime.
amazing to be called on and, you know, have someone actually kind of go through my fight career. So it's been pretty cool, man, I must say. You know, big shout out to Herculeaf, you know, which is my business. We are pushing and paving the way with pretty much the strongest CBD on the market. We've now gone on Amazon as well, so we're sort
It's
of pressing the
awesome.
brand, so you can now access it in Europe as well, big man. You know, so the idea is to sort of
That's
get out there
awesome,
really
man.
and push it, mate. But yeah, it's been amazing to be on tonight, and it was lovely to talk to you and, you know, get a bit of an insight into your life as well, mate. So yeah, I've had an awesome
It's
time.
awesome.
It's been good.
Yeah, definitely same. Yeah, I appreciate you for your time, brother. And yeah, anytime again, we can do
Mate,
many more
for sure,
podcasts, I hope, in the
for sure,
future.
brother.
Thank you. I appreciate for your time.
Thank you
Have a
so
great day.
much.
Bye.
That's it from the Martial Arts Show 2.0. I'm your podcast host, Khalid, and my guest today was Lee Greenwood, and we talked about his journey into martial arts, getting through adversity, his injuries, bullying as a kid, building his own business outside of fighting, and many more things. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram. Check out his journey. It's definitely amazing and very inspirational. If you want to know more about the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, and all available platforms, just type in the Martial Arts Show 2.0. You will find me there. Thank you for the support. Until next time, bye everybody.